in that huge basin in the center of the city, the highland being at the lake or at the river, and in the middle was a basin with a cypress swamp that was drained. And then, until then, the very poor blacks and so on were forced to live in those areas in the swamp, back swamps. And then the population back in there and the building exploded, and great numbers of people moved in because drainage had made it possible to move in there. The cypress swamps were cut. That's one reason why today we are once more getting the large floods in the middle of the city of New Orleans. Every time we get a heavy rain, there's a great deal of flooding. Well, what has happened is that Baldwin Wood built some magnificent pumps, but those pumps were only capable of taking care of so much. And now, with the increase in population and the paving over of much of the city so that it cannot sink in, you have much more that the pumps have to take care of. And so they're just not quite taking care of it any longer. And in the middle of the city, around Broad Street and Napoleon Avenue, and so on, toward the center city, you get big floods every time you get a few inches of rain, heavy rain in a hurry. There's flooding in there that can range anywhere from a foot to 3, 4, 5 feet, and it's pretty serious.
Can they do anything about it?
Well, yes, if they would spend a great deal of money and improve the drainage, they can do something about it. But other than that, I don't know what they can do about it. They can restrict some of the paving that goes on, you know, where people pave their yards. And every time somebody puts in a new concrete driveway and paves this and paves that, that's that much less soil to absorb that moisture, and that has to go somewhere. Well, it goes into the storm drainage system, and the storm drainage system just cannot absorb it anymore.
Do they put a restriction on how much concrete people can do in their homes?
No. Indeed, they build huge buildings like the Dome Stadium, which just, well, this campus is an example of that. We don't have many buildings on this campus, and we have large acreage, as you saw when you came in here. But what you didn't see was that most of that acreage out there in those fields and so on, there are drains, there are storm drains. So rather than that water sitting there and soaking into the ground, it goes into the storm drain, then it goes into the canals that are supposedly carrying it out to the lake. But that just puts so much more water into the canal that the canals can no longer handle it. So there's your problem.
So then the canals flood as a consequence?
The canals flood. The canals can't carry the water. The pump stations on the canals can't take it. It just backs up. And you get flooding. It's a serious problem, a very serious problem. I don't know what the solution is. Ask me some more questions, sir. But anyway, that's how your city spread. It spread always along the river. And of course, the Crescent City, comes from that initial crescent that the city makes with that big bow.
Do the various divisions have names?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Pardon my digressions.
Quite all right.
Uptown became essentially an Anglo-Saxon abode for the city. Most of the Anglo-Saxon, and by the way, there was a great deal of fraternization between the Creoles and the Anglo-Saxons of various, the same social plane. I mean, the upper classes intermingled to a great extent. This is a fiction that they moved into their old manor houses, slammed the shutters tight, and wouldn't speak to an Anglo-Saxon on the street and so on. If he were of the same social class, chances are they started blending. And indeed, I can show you any number of Creoles that live uptown. Creoles, by definition of their original ancestry and so on, who are as Anglo-Saxon as any upcountry Southerner in their manner or their outlook on life and so on.